Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 8th day of December 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll also take a look at the RFS and its impact on the use of corn in 2016. That's for the coming year. Daryl Good did some work on that, posted it up to the Farm Doc Daily website yesterday, and I spoke with him for a bit this morning. So we'll have that conversation as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this in the grains pit, nearby contract for the corn at 370, a penny and a half higher. The March at 373 and a half, up a half, and the May at 379 and a quarter, a half of a cent higher for the afternoon. July futures at 384 and a half, a quarter higher. September at 388 and a half, up a quarter, and December corn unchanged today at $3.95 and a half. From the soy complex, taking a look at the numbers at this point, nearby January, down 5.5 cents. Their settlement price at $8.76 and 3/4 for the day. March futures at $8.79 and 3/4, down 6, and the May down 6 as well at $8.85 and 3/4. July soybeans $8.92 and 1/4, down 5 and 3/4. November at $8.95 and 1/4, 6 cents lower. Bean meal futures at $2.76.60, down 2.30, and the bean oil for the day at $31.23, up 25 cents. Wheat futures December contract $4.70 and 3/4. Of a cent, up a half. The March down a quarter, or rather pinning a quarter at 481 and a half, and July at 492 and three quarters, down 2 and 1/4. The hard red July at 493 down and 3/4, down 2 cents. Live cattle futures trading 82.5 cents lower at $120.80. February at 125, 12.5, down $2, 2.5, and feeder cattle for the day at $151.95, or $4.5 lower. March contract at $149.57.5, also down the $4.5 limit. Lean hogs in the December 20 cents lower at $55.27.5. February at $57.80, up 27.5 cents. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580 Urbana.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. From the energies, ethanol futures are down 0.5 cents at $1.46 and 2 cents. Crude oil for the day, that's a dime higher, dime lower, at $37.55 a barrel. The gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price, down 0.9 cents at $1.19 and a half, or rather $1.19 and 9 cents. Diesel fuel at $1.25 and 9 cents is down 2 cents for the day, and natural gas at $2.07 and a half, that's up 0.7 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 169 points lower at 17,587. The U.S. dollar down 0.194 at 98,475, and the U.S. gold futures for the day at $1,073 are down $2.25. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Partly sunny today, 53 degrees. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers. After midnight, mostly cloudy, a low of 44. South winds at 13 to 16. Tomorrow, partly sunny. We'll go to 52 on a west wind at 9 to 14. And Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low of 40 degrees. South winds at 7 to 11. Thursday, partly sunny and 58. Friday, partly sunny and 57. And Saturday, just a chance of showers, but mostly cloudy. Beautiful day, probably. A high of 63 degrees. Stay tuned, because I have something for you to do on Saturday. Not too distant from right here in the Urbana-Champaign area, and it should be a lot of fun and a really good experience. We'll talk more about that during today's closing market report.
Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the December 8th edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Wayne Nelson is on the line now to take a look at what's happened in the marketplace. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it should be a really nice week. At least it looks like it's turning out. Maybe we'll get just cloudy skies and some sunshine instead of the gray and dreary skies that we've had. However, things in Chicago, not so great yesterday. And if you're in the bean pit, not so great today as well. Down 5.5 cents for the January contract. Beans just losing the floor at this point. Will they drift lower, or are we looking at a sideways market at some point?
Well, you know, we had a choppy undecided session today, waiting for the report tomorrow to see, you know, the oil is the bright hope out there, but we seem to be losing support for passing the blender's credit for the producer coming in to maybe even be voted on until after the first of the year. So that's one of the things. You know, the record South American crop prospects and a little better weather than central Brazil stood on top of things. But I think tomorrow is going to sort of see if we will up the export numbers at all. And get that butt carry out down a little bit. But we're not looking for much in that report, for sure.
What Senator Grassley wants, Senator Grassley normally gets. That's what they've been saying about the producer credit for the blender's tax. You don't think the Iowa senator has enough clout to pull it off?
Well, I think it's going to be trying to get this other bill passed for the temporary so that we don't close the government down. And if he can get it added in, we sure think that'd be better for the American farmer, and we sure hope that it will happen. You know, they've given it a 50-50 chance on most of the news wires here today like that. So, you know, we even saw one of the major advisory firms selling 30% or hedging 30% and selling another 10% in the cash market on the beans today at noon. So some of the people aren't real positive.
So the omnibus bill is the one that's making an impact at this point, at least for the soy complex, and we'll wait that out. And the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates are due out at 11 tomorrow morning. We'll get those out to you right away on our website at willag.org. I'll post my Twitter account, which is at Commodity Week, to the website directly, so it'll be embedded there. You, of course, can follow me on Twitter if you'd like, at Commodity Week. And right at 11 o'clock, we'll put those numbers out. The World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates are not expected to change, at least from the trades perspective at this point. Any reason that the soy part of that bean oil might increase soybean usage in the coming 2016 season and for this marketing year?
Well, of course, I mean, the biodiesel blending credit, if you can go to the producer, means that we will actually, what the mandate was, looked like they'd have to be all American bean oil rather than imported bean oil. Is to do that, and I think that would, you know, up the crush and also up the usage along that way. So that's one of the things we were hoping for, is to help gain this market a little bit.
I suppose at this point, unless it's passed before 11 o'clock tomorrow morning out of the omnibus in some form, USDA won't be able to put that into the numbers it's working up at this time for tomorrow's release. So we'll have to watch it and see what the changes look like. Tell me about the corn market from your perspective and maybe basis.
Well, of course, they're thinking they might up the ethanol usage or corn for ethanol a little bit that way along the way. It's one of the reasons the corn hung in there strong today. Basically, you know, we're looking at more bean acres in Brazil. There's only 10% that's in the area that's sort of extra dry here now, but we're looking at the corn. Basically, this is in its middle of its trading range, and that's where he stopped. And basically, the beans are in the middle of their trading range, and this is where they stopped for now going into the report. And we're going to have to wait and see how the weather down south goes and how a few of the bills in Washington go, and, of course, the government numbers tomorrow.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Doc.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at what happened in Chicago. I'll be on the road next week with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You can see all the details about those summits online. And I'm a little confused at this point as to whether it's opened or closed for registration because they just sent out a brand new registration note about it. So I'm going to guess that you probably, although the online, when I looked, was closed, I'll bet they opened that back up so that you can make your way to one of the five events that are held across the state next week. We'll start out right here in Champaign on Monday, and then we'll move across the state fairly quickly into DeKalb on Tuesday, Peoria on Wednesday, Thursday we'll be in Springfield, and Friday in Mount Vernon. If you have not registered, at least take a look on the Farm Doc Daily website at the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. I think you'll probably be able to register, but certainly you can walk in, and there's really only a $10 difference between the lowest price and the highest price. There are $65 to $75. So I hope that we can see you. We'll be out on the road, and Daryl Good to help us go through some of those numbers as they may be categorized with the RFS and the omnibus bill and the producer's credit and what it all means. We'll hear from him in just a bit. Scott Irwin, too, will take us through that. And we'll have Jonathan Kappas to talk about policy and Todd Keithy to talk about the price of land. Nick Paulson will be there, and so will Gary Schnitke. Should be a great, great Illinois Farm Economic Summits, and I hope that you can join us. In today's agricultural news, Monday, as expected, the World Trade Organization arbitrator issued the report on the level of retaliation that Mexico and Canada can request in their dispute with the United States over country of origin labeling requirements, known as COOL. The U.S. House has passed a repeal of the COOL program for beef and pork, but the Senate has not moved on COOL, and that could be changing very soon. At a town hall for Indiana farmers Monday near Purdue University's West Lafayette campus, Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly expressed optimism there would be a temporary fix sometime this week.
I think that we'll have a country of origin labeling included in the omnibus bill that happens this week. And so we're working to have that done immediately. That will cover both the House and the Senate, then it will have a rule in place, and it should be in compliance with the WTO. It's in some ways a little bit of a catch-all bill, and part of what's going to be included in it, I think, is the COOL labeling.
With COOL deemed incompliant with WTO standards, the WTO retaliation authorization allows Canada and Mexico to place tariffs on over $1 billion worth of American-made goods. Donnelly says language in the legislation is designed first and foremost to prevent the tariffs.
It will be designed so that we don't get tariffs this year. You know, then we'll work with the WTO in years moving forward to try to make it more voluntary. But as of right now, our first goal is to prevent our products from being stuck with tariffs.
Iowa State University economist Dermot Hayes says the average U.S. pork producer currently is losing money on each hog marketed, and retaliation from Canada and Mexico against U.S. pork would exacerbate those losses. Our thanks to Andy Hubank of Hoosier Ag Today and a member of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting for bringing us the actualities or the cuts from Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly. On the subject of COOL, the CME Group, home of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange where U.S. cattle contracts are traded, will require that all cattle delivered against live cattle contracts must be born and raised solely in the United States. The move announced last week was in preparation for Monday's announcement on the country of origin labeling. CME Group made the adjustment to clarify existing live cattle futures delivery regulations if the U.S. should choose to repeal COOL. CME said in a statement that the purpose of these rule changes is to maintain the status quo in an uncertain policy environment, since the current U.S. origin requirement is dependent on COOL being in place. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You know, commodity traders are generally thinking last week's EPA RFS rulemaking will cause more bushels of corn to be turned into ethanol. However, University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good, he's a bit more doubtful. Let's start by building the corn for ethanol baseline to see why. The EIA, the U.S. Energy Information Administration, says U.S. production of fuel ethanol in 2014 totaled 14,313,000,000 gallons. And that was about 1 billion gallons more than in 2013 and nearly 400 million gallons more than the record-setting year of 2011. So 14.313 billion gallons of ethanol was produced in 2014. During the first 9 months of this year, writes Daryl Good on the FarmDoc Daily website, EIA shows production 3.6% larger than during the same 9 months of last year. It appears October and November were on the same track, and while December looks to be a bit off, it should leave the yearly consumption at a whopping and record-setting 14.745 billion gallons, says U of I's Good.
Yeah, right now, based on the estimates of how much ethanol we will actually produce in the calendar year 2015, corn requirements are going to be close to 5.25 billion bushels, although part of that may be in the form of sorghum rather than corn, but the majority of that 5.25 billion bushels would use corn as a feedstock.
So the baseline is big, but let's start back figuring for 2016 corn usage to make ethanol. U.S. EPA just released biofuels volumes for 2016. Those standards point to a conventional ethanol consumption of 14.5 billion gallons. It's about a 500 million gallon year-to-year increase, says Good. However, there is a second related factor. That factor is the blend wall, or how much gasoline is actually consumed in the United States.
So they're projecting that just under 140 billion gallons for 2016. So if we blended all of that at 10%, we would be right at 14 billion gallons, just slightly less. But we also need to recognize that some of that ethanol is not conventional corn-based ethanol. It's advanced ethanol that doesn't meet the mandate for conventional ethanol. Those are not large quantities, mostly Brazilian imports to meet California requirements, but that would then bring the effective blend wall down just a little bit from that nearly 14 billion gallons.
Now, since some gasoline is consumed without ethanol and some with higher ethanol blends, the effective E10 blend wall is actually thought to be about 9.9% of consumption, or 13.856 billion gallons. Here's the back figure. Subtract from this number imported ethanol, add in a few additional E85 gallons, and total 2016 consumption of conventional ethanol, says Daryl Good, is not roughly 500 million gallons more than this year, but rather about the same as this year, though that 500 million gallon gap will still have to be filled.
So if the mandate is at 14.5 and the EPA is correctly forecast gasoline consumption, then we hit the E10 blend wall at just under 14 billion gallons. The remainder has to come from alternative sources that qualify. The first would be some drawdown in RINs stocks. Those could be retired in order to meet the mandate. We think some of it obviously will be met by higher ethanol blends. We can get beyond the E10 blend wall with E15 or E85. That probably will still come up short of 14.5. And then we have to look at probably advanced biofuels, primarily biodiesel, to fill that gap that remains. So it looks like, even though we have a higher mandate, the use of ethanol will be really restricted by our capacity to blend, and we'll have to meet the rest of it with advanced fuels.
This outcome is very different from the initial reaction that an increase in the implied conventional ethanol requirement from the preliminary to final rulemaking for 2016 of 500 million gallons would result in a measurable increase in feedstock, corn, consumption. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. There's an open house this weekend in our area, and I thought you might want to know a bit more about it because this doesn't happen very often. A beef farmer has decided to open up his brand new barn and ribbon cutting this Saturday starting at 11 a.m. And not only that, he's going to feed folks too. He's from Farmer City. Rick Dean is here. Rick, this is about your family and the farm and brand new beef barn that you have. What can you tell me about the barn and why you're having an open house?
It's an opportunity to show our neighbors, you know, what we're doing and our local townsfolk too. And other beef producers would be interested in this building, these buildings that we've built. I kind of like to think they're state of the art. They're good for the cattle, good for the people, good for the environment. I'm pretty excited about the opportunities that these barns are going to provide us.
These are called monoslope barns. Does that mean that they slope from one end of the barn to the other? And what's the slope in degrees?
Actually, the monoslope, there's two barns. One's a gable barn, and that barn is a deep-fitted finishing barn. We just weaned some calves in it, and we'll take those calves clear to market weight in this barn. One of the unique features about that barn is that it has a rubber slat. It has concrete slats with a rubber coating over it. And I'm really excited about that. That just feels good for me to walk on. And the cattle, we've got head cattle in there for 3 weeks now, and they're enjoying it. They're doing well. It's just a real friendly environment. And then the other barn is a cow-calf barn, and it's sloped to the south. The monoslope is facing south, and that lets that sun shine in that building, especially in the wintertime. Actually, in the wintertime, it lets it shine way back in the barn to keep the bedding dry. And that's a deep-packed bedded barn. And then in the summertime, when the sun's high in the sky, the sun barely gets in the barn at all. So it's pretty unique. This technology's building design's been out there for several years. And my son and I have looked at several of these barns, and they appear to work really well.
So it's not only about the building, but it's about the position of the building and the way it interacts with the sunshine at that point. What's it like inside for the cattle?
We've got our spring calving cow herd in this barn already, and we've got some heifers in our cow-calf barn. It's deep bedded. We bed it with straw, and it's got its own manure storage inside the barn. It's a pit that we can the water. From this building, all runs back to the middle of the barn from both directions. And so the liquids are going to go in there, and we'll put our dry manure in there. And this can be a valuable resource to haul out to our fields come spring and fall whenever we need to empty that. It's going to be pretty valuable fertilizer. I'm excited about what it's going to do for our fertilizer bill.
So Saturday, you're going to open the barn up. People can come out and take a look at it. You've got calves and cattle in the barns. You're going to feed them, too. There's a hamburger, ribeye lunch. How do they get to your facility there in Farmer City?
We're west of Farmer City. That's kind of important. Sometimes the Google thing puts you back at the other side of Farmer City. But we are due west of Farmer City, and we're south of Leroy. Leroy's right in my hometown, and we're about 5 miles south of Leroy, and 7 miles due west of Farmer City.
Well, it shouldn't be too hard to find. I suspect in this kind of landscape, can you see the barns from a pretty good distance?
Yeah, you can. And we're going to have signs, too, to help people find their way in here. We've invited our local community, and I'm excited to have people come see what we're doing.
All right, Rick, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me. And
yep.
I wish I could come on Saturday, but I've got another engagement. I hope you have a great day then.
Oh, I think we will. They're talking 60 degrees, so if we can keep the rain away, it'll be great. So thanks, Todd.
You're certainly welcome, Rick and his family, Barb and Derek, and I think Randy and Chris and Brack, Dean, all work with Dean Bacon and Beef. They're there at Farmer City, and they're having an open house for their brand-new barns. That'll be this Saturday at 11 a.m. That's December the 12th for the ribbon cutting. They've got a free hamburger or ribeye meal there. Drop by and see them if you want. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That address again, willag.org. We post all of our programming content there not long after it airs on our radio stations. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Brownie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1730, Jan Ingelhaus was born, A Dutch-born British physician and scientist, he discovered photosynthesis by identifying that sunlight gave green plants the ability to take in carbon dioxide, fix the carbon, and purify the air to the benefit of respiration of animals. In 1765, Eli Whitney was born, inventor of the cotton gin. He was more important to the development of the concept of mass-producing interchangeable parts. This he applied in the fulfillment of a 1797 U.S. government contract to supply muskets. Whitney manufactured these in standardized parts for reassembly, meaning that for the first time, worn parts could be replaced by spares rather than requiring special replacements to be made. In 1896, J.T. White was issued a patent for an improved lemon squeezer. Also in 1896, Ernest Engel died. A German statistician, he is known for Engel's Law, which states that the proportion of expenditure on food will fall as income rises. That food essentially is a necessary good. And in 1942, Albert Kahn died, a German-American industrial architect and planner. He is considered the father of modern factory design. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 8th day of December. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day always joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He's here now. Hi, Don. How are you today?
Doing good.
Excellent. Tell me about the weather forecast. It's kind of warm, even balmy, although a little cloudy and dreary all at the same time here in the Midwest.
Well, that is true. We do have what's been a lot of low cloudiness and some cloudy, cool weather, but really it's been fairly uneventful, and going to stay that way for a little bit longer late this week, especially this weekend and beyond, Todd. As we get into the next couple of weeks, do expect the Corn Belt, the Midwest, the Western Plains to get into a much more busy weather pattern. Better chances for colder weather, better chances for rain or snow.
Okay, then turn your attention to South America for me. Tell me about the weather forecast for Brazil to begin with.
Well, looks like Brazil is going to be entering into a period of weather here where rain chances really countrywide look pretty good, but in the key growing areas, looks like at least average, maybe a few locations above average precipitations expected over the next week. When it comes to temperature conditions, very close to normal. And we could say the same for Argentina. Looks like for some of the key growing areas, precipitation chances look good and temperatures about on par to where they should be this time of year.
Anything further out that we should be concerned about?
Well, at least in the southern hemisphere, no. We are watching portions of Australia that getting a little bit dry, and that'll be a little bit of a concern. But even Australia, at least at the time being, showing out some really good weather.
El Nino tends to drive lots of things, and I suppose for South America, that means more normal kinds of ranges of weather. Although it does have some impact in the southern hemisphere, South Africa has been suffering, and that would be a corn crop there. Droughty conditions, and I take it that continues at this point.
Well, it is, and that's, that part of the world does feel some of the impacts, as you said, of drier conditions during an El Nino. And right now, while there is going to be some rain in the northeastern areas of South Africa, it does look like most of the country is going to remain dry.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Of course, that's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Take a look at the FarmDoc Daily website when you get the chance. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. There you should find some links to the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are coming up next week. We'll be on the road from here in Champaign to DeKalb and Peoria, Springfield and Mount Vernon for those 5 days. I hope to see you while we're out. At a minimum, you'll be able to check the website for times and dates. And then I think you should still be able to register possibly yet this afternoon, though there's some confusion about whether that's open or closed at this time. Nonetheless, you can walk in next week if you'd like. The cost to walk in, I think, is $75. You have to find out all the details, though, at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and look for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits over on the bottom of the right-hand side of the page. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.